إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 11th session, reading from Minhaj Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal, the methodology of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning creed and actions, by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Before we read the topic for tonight, I want to quickly review some of the points that we discussed last week from questionnaire study guide number 10. First question being, MashaAllah, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, the Halim is back. Shafaak Allah. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. First question being, mentioned the three essential matters which complete the shahada, that is the testimony of faith. Ya Murch. I said Murch.
Belief in the heart, utterance of the tongue, and
actions
of the limbs.
Now, belief in the heart, utterance of the tongue, and actions of the limbs. Now, these three elements which complete the shahada are essential elements in order for one to have full realization of the shahada. And this is the first and the most important right of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us. Yani that we bear witness that he is the messenger of Allah with our hearts and our tongues and our actions. Now, question number two, discuss the condition of someone who has the second of these three elements without the first of them. Yani the second of them is what?
Utterance upon the tongue.
The second of them is utterance upon the tongue. And the first of them is?
The heart.
The aqeedah. The aqeedah in the heart. Now, so what is the condition of someone who has the second of these three elements without the first of them? What is their condition? Now, Abdul Haq.
Man qala ash-shahadata ولم يعتقدها بلسانه
ولم يعتقدها بقلبه
نعم ولم يعتقدها بقلبه فلا تتحقق شهادته بل هو منافق.
طيب. Yani, the condition of the person who pronounces the shahada on their tongue. But they don't have the aqeedah, the belief in what they're saying on their tongue. It's not in their heart. Then this person has not realized the shahada of Muhammad Rasulullah. Rather, this person is a munafiq. Yani, meaning the person who professed on their tongue was not in their heart. This is yani nifaq, hypocrisy, which is the most dangerous of affairs. Now, Mustafa, you have something?
Next question.
Oh, next question? The question number three. Memorize the ayat, 63rd surah, first ayat, which clarifies the above matter and shows the relationship between the first and second matter. Yani the ayat shows the relationship between the first and second matter. What is this ayat? From surah Al-Munafiqun. Naam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem.
It's your right if you like.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسول والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون.
نعم. Meaning of this ayat, the meaning of this ayat, help me somebody, Naam Ibrahim.
When the hypocrites come to you, Naam. They bear witness, or they say that we bear witness, you are the messenger of Allah.
Naam, when the hypocrites come to you, Yani Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is speaking to the messenger, when they come to you, they bear witness, Yani with their tongues, that indeed, definitely you are the messenger of Allah. Naam.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He affirms the statement.
And Allah affirms the truthfulness of the statement, the reality of that statement.
No, Allah affirms the statement that Allah, the Prophet said, the messenger of Allah.
Naam, that Allah knows that indeed you are His messenger.
But yeah, in reality their statement is a statement of kadhib because they don't believe it.
But in reality their statement is a statement and is untruthful. It's a lie because they don't really believe it. Yani, so Allah says that yes, Allah knows that indeed you are the messenger of Allah. And Allah bears witness that indeed the munafiqun, the hypocrites, are liars. They are liars. This is a tremendous yani ayah in the Quran that requires some examination. But in any case, yani, it's very important for this matter to be understood because Allah addresses the point of what they said on their tongue. Allah knows that indeed that you are His messenger. And He also addresses the reality of what's in their heart. And He calls them liars. The next question, explain. Why Allah called the hypocrite liars while they testified to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mustafa?
This is something that's not in their hearts.
Huh? Because?
Something that's not.
Because they said something that's not in their hearts. Naam. Also?
I don't al-aqidatu a'adamu ruknin fi shahad.
Yani, and also, yani, they said something that's not in their heart. Naam. That's the core of the matter. But additionally, yani, what they left out, the aqeedah, yani, that is absent from their heart, is the most important element in the shahada itself. The most important thing is the aqeedah. Naam. Anything else? Anybody want to add? Yani, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies to the truthfulness of the statement on their tongue, but He also declares them to be liars in terms of what is in their heart. That what's on their tongue doesn't reflect what's in their heart. Naam.
I just really like, I really like the point you made, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that the statement is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making it clear that the statement is true and just calling them kadhibun. And the statement, it could be unclear to the person reading of this ayah.
Now.
They say to the Messenger of Allah, and Allah calls
them
liars.
Yes. So Ibn Kathir brings this point out with clarity. That, yani, that Allah didn't leave it just to say that they are liars, but He made clear that the statement on the tongue is a true reality. But you people are liars because of what is in your heart, yani, because the aqidah that's in your heart doesn't match what's on your tongue. So please, whoever is able to go back to Ibn Kathir and read what he said about this, very important how he explained it, yani, for the sake of time, yani, we'll refer you to it. Now.
It corresponds to the ayah in Surah Al-Fath
that they say on their tongues what is not in their hearts. Now.
So in the book, when you said that they did not affirm the messengership of Allah.
Yeah, their shahada is not realized. It's not fully achieved. It's not achieved because even though they're saying the right words on the tongue, but they didn't achieve real shahada because the most important element is absent. That is the aqidah in the heart. Number five, the fifth question, discuss the importance for someone who pronounces the shahada. Discuss the importance of following the sharia brought by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The importance of following the Sharia. For somebody who pronounces the Shahada, how important is it to follow the Sharia? No.
The education was not very clear to me. They discussed the importance of for somebody who pronounces the Shahada of following the Sharia.
The question is not clear?
Can you say that?
Yeah, the question is, what is the importance for the person who pronounces the shahada on their tongue, how important is it for that person to actually follow the sharia that's brought by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Naam, Abdul Haq, other Abdul Haq, and Long Island Abdul Haq.
The importance is tremendous, because it actually, them following the sharia of what the Prophet brought, it actually validates their claim.
Them following what the Prophet brought, the sharia, validates their claim that's on their tongue. Naam. It validates their claim. Yani, without them following it, how can a person say on their tongue that they believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul, Rabbil Alameen, and that which he came with is the Sharia of Rabbil Alameen. They're claiming that they believe this. يَعْتَقِدُ هَذَا ثُمَّ لَا يُطَبِّقُ. And then they don't apply anything. So it is critically important that if a person claims to believe something, that then they have to act upon it. They have to act upon it. The claim is يعني, useless. Without action. Naam.
And they are going against it with their actions.
And their actions are contrary to what they're claiming is in their heart.
Contradicts it.
And it nullifies. Naam. Question number 6. Discuss the reason. The reason for and the basis of the tremendous love Muslims have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, what is the reason for this love? What is the basis of the love that the Muslims have? Naam, somebody back there? Huh?
No. It is right in the message of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Naam, it's the right of the messenger that we love him. That's one of the most important rights of the messenger. Yani, that the love of the Prophet ﷺ is tabi'an. Yani, it is following. It is subject to, it is because of our love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, Ibrahim?
The foundation of our love for the Prophet ﷺ, the message of Allah, is that he is Allah.
The foundation of our love of the Messenger ﷺ is because he is the messenger of Allah. Because Allah has sent him with the message. Because Allah has missioned him. And because Allah has guided the ummah through him. Yani, it's based upon what? It's based upon the fact that he has this position. It's based upon his position. Not just who he is as a human being. But the position that Allah has given him as a messenger. That Allah has sent him. Allah has chosen him. And Allah has guided the ummah through him. Yani, so the love of the messenger is subject to, it is based upon, it is due to our love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, somebody want to add something?
Yeah.
Murshid.
However, this love is not worship.
Ah, it's not a love that's worship. Yani, in other words, we're not worshipping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the love of him. Rather, rather Allah, it is Allah that is worshipped. By way of that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought, the Sharia that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. Naam.
When we say it's not worship that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is worship to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as you know, some of the hadith.
Yani, if we love the Prophet because Allah, yani, has sent him. If we love him because he is the messenger of Allah, because he is the worshipper of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through him has guided us to Islam. Naam, then this is yani love that is due to obedience. That's why the love of the Prophet is based upon love of Allah. Yani, it's because of that.
And also
the hadith of Anas
ibn
Malik.
Naam. Naam. So a person doesn't have complete and perfect iman until the Prophet ﷺ is more beloved to them than the whole of humanity. Yani their parents, their children, and all of humanity. And it's a part of iman. Naam. That iman is tabi'a li iman billahi. And it's all connected to Allah. Because it is Allah who has chosen him. It is Allah who has missioned him. And Allah who has guided the ummah through him. Naam.
And the Sheikh mentioned a beautiful point. He said if he wasn't the messenger of Allah,
Naam.
Then he would only be a man from Bani.
Naam. If it wasn't for the fact that he had been given this task, this mission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it wasn't for that, then he would just be another man from the Quraysh, from Bani Hashim. And he wouldn't be entitled to this station and this status and this love. He's entitled to because Allah has mentioned him. Anyway, yani, the important thing here is what? If we understand why we love the Prophet ﷺ, why we should love the Prophet ﷺ, if we understand that, then now we have to actualize it. We have to really love the Prophet ﷺ. And Allah has told us that if you claim to love Allah, then the proof of it is in following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So love requires action. It requires proof and following. Yeah, and if we love Allah and we love the Messenger of Allah, then we follow the example of the one that He has sent to us. Question number 7. Discuss the reason why Muslims possess a high level of respect and honor for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the love and the respect and honor for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is based upon what? Naam, duha.
هو أجدرهم
بتحمل
الرسالة العظيمة.
نعم. Abdul Haq is saying that we honor and respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he is the Messenger of Allah, because Allah has guided the Ummah through him, because yani he is the most worthy to be carrying the message, this tremendous risala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commissioned him with. There's one more point that's very important here.
I also say that he's
the haqqun nas, haqq al-khalq. Naam, he's the most rightful of the human beings. Rather, he's the most rightful of everything in the creation to be carrying this message. And added to that, very important point. Naam, Ibrahim had his hand first. Because he has the highest station in front of Allah. Yani, the Muslims honor him because Allah has honored him. Why has Allah honored him? Because he is the أعبد الناس. يعني أعظم الناس عبادة. Because of what? Because he is the... Allah has honored him because he is the best of the people, the greatest of the people in worshipping Allah, which is the purpose for which we have been created, which is the purpose for which the Qur'an was revealed and the prophets and messengers were sent, for the worship of Allah. And he is the one who has realized this to the highest extent. Therefore, Allah honored him for that reason. Allah honored him for that reason, and then we honor him for that reason. Because if you look in the Qur'an, by the way, and I don't want to get sidetracked here, but yani, the greatest yani, honor that has been given to the Prophet ﷺ, such as Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, and everything like this, the Prophet is always described in all of those ayats in the Qur'an as a what? Abd. Asra bi'abdihi. That is the greatest title. That is the greatest station. The ubudiyah. It is for this reason that he's honored and respected. Most importantly, in addition to everything else. Naam. But most importantly, because of the ubudiyah. Naam.
I was going to say also because of the level of sacrifice that he made.
No doubt.
To deliver this message and risk his life, and he refused to be subdued by the enemies of Islam, you know, to be talked out of it and so on and so forth.
No.
That he completed his mission. So, I mean, when we study the history of Rasulullah Islam, we have to love him for that as well. And then also, Allah says that we have to make him the judge between every matter.
Yeah, I just want to kind of stick to the point, though. The point of what the Sheikh is making here is we, from the rights of the Prophet ﷺ, is that we love him. From the rights of the Prophet is that we honor him. But why do we love him? Why do we honor him? That's really, the Sheikh is trying to bring this point out so that we understand not just what you're supposed to be doing, but why are you doing it? Yani, you have to pray, but why do you pray? Perhaps there are many Muslims who pray every day, but they don't know why they pray. Yani, the why that you pray is not just because you have been commanded. Yes, that's part of it. But, yani, so you have just been commanded, you are not in need. Yani, Allah is not in need. Aren't you in need though? I'm saying these are the why. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said in one place, I don't remember where he said that, and it's been many years, but he said something profound. He said that most of the people are interested to know the kayf, but not, they don't want to know limadha. Most of the people want to know how you pray, how do you fast, the fiqh. But why though? Yani, what's in the heart? The reason why you are doing these things, people are not interested in. And this is the core of the matter, is more important, although both of them are important and both of them are essential, but it has to start with what's in the heart. Why are you worshipping Allah? And then, how to worship Allah. In any case, some of the scholars said that from the rights of the Prophet ﷺ is that we obey his commands and that we leave off what he has prohibited and that we believe in what he has brought, the information, and that we only worship Allah by the way that he has brought to us. Yani, the scholars of Sunnah, this is a statement that is yani all the time mentioned. Yani, to comply with his commands, to avoid his prohibitions, to believe in that which he informed us of, and to worship Allah only by the way that the Prophet ﷺ brought for the worship of Allah. In any case, yani, we're actually too over time on these questions. Question number 8, explain the author's statement, rahimahullah, we do not place the Prophet above the station given to him by Allah. Yani, what is the meaning of the Shaykh, rahimahullah's statement? Yani, that even though we honor and respect and love the Prophet, we do not, yani, place the Prophet above the station that Allah has placed him in. What is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this? As best you can understand it. Naam, I'll start.
That we don't put him in a position of worship.
That we don't put him in a position of worship. Naam. Anybody else? Naam.
Yeah.
Very important. We don't put him in a position of worship. Naam. The Shaykh said that that the Muslims, the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, say that he's Abdullah.
A'budu.
He is the best of the worshippers, the most perfect and worshiping Allah of all of humanity. Now, so the core here, meaning that the Shaykh is calling to our attention is, in spite of the fact of our love for him and our honor and respect for him, yet we don't put him above the station that Allah has placed. Allah has placed him in what station? He said in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, that what? Don't exaggerate or don't praise, really, which is really more correct, don't praise me the way the Christians praise Isa ibn Maryam. He said, فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ فَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ. That I am no more than a abd. So therefore, what should you say about me? عَبْدُ اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ. The worship of Allah and His Messenger. And this is really the core of the matter. Don't put him above, put him in the station that Allah has raised him to a high station, station of ubudiyyah. He's the abd and he's the rasul. And we don't need to let go beyond that. Rather, we put him in his position that Allah has put him in. And we accept that and we understand that this is the greatest station for the human being. In any case, there's no higher station than this. Otherwise, if people go higher than that, then they put him in the station like Isa ibn Maryam, the Christians did with him. They made him as a ilah or ibn ilah. Yani, and this is yani prohibited. This is yani going beyond the bounds. Last question. Mention an example which shows the superior level of worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over other people. Mention an example that shows the superior level of worship of the Prophet over other people. Naam.
In brief.
Naam. In brief, please.
His wife radiallahu anha saw him pray one night in such a rigorous state, and then she asked him, haven't you forgiven your
pastor? Yani, Aisha radiallahu anha saw the Prophet standing long hours in the prayer until it affected his physical yani state of being. Naam. And she said to him?
Haven't you forgiven your pastor? And your
why are you praying like this since Allah has forgiven you?
Your past and future.
Naam.
And then he replied,
أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. نعم. And one of the narration, أَفَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. يعني, the Prophet ﷺ replied to why he is worshipping, going to this extent in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you doing all this? Since you have already been forgiven your past and future sins. And he said, in that case, shouldn't I then yani worship more as a sign of what? Abd Shukur, a grateful worshipper, a grateful servant. Shouldn't I then show my gratitude to Allah for all that He has given to me by worshipping Him more, not worshipping less? So we have been honored to be Muslims, being guided to Islam. We then must realize that it is upon us to show gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choosing us, guiding us to Islam, and putting us on the path that we can be saved from the hellfire. That means that we're supposed to show our gratitude by worshipping Allah more. Not just praising. Yeah, that's part of it. But worshipping Allah, yani, doing the things that are pleasing to Allah, yani, fulfilling His commands, avoiding His prohibitions, and so on. And this is, yani, some of what we covered last week, and the time is upon us, really, at this moment. Allahu musta'an. So, I just want to say here that, yani, what we read last week, from this particular third point, yani, what is the tariqah or the minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah concerning the Messenger of Allah, Haqqa Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani, the shaykh, he made the most important point is that we bear witness to his messengership, that he is the Messenger of Allah with our hearts and our tongues and our actions. That's his greatest right. And after that, along with it, we must also really love the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and honor and respect him with the respect that is due to him and all that entails. And then now in the second part of this topic, the shaykh goes to the other side of how the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah view the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we're going to start with today. Yani, the other side of how the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah view the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to be reading from the English translation, page 29, the last three lines. Unfortunately, there's not a separate paragraph for this next point. It's like a run-on sentence. It should be at least a paragraph, or at least a new sentence, but Allahu A'lam. So on page 29, the last three lines, from the bottom of the page. And we're going to read to the end of this chapter, which is on page 30, the end of page 32. So we're on page 29, the bottom of the page, last three lines in English. And in Arabic, we're going to be reading from the top of page 21. If you numbered the Arabic text from the cover, from the front cover page, it will be on top of page 21, ending on page 23. The Shaykh, he begins by saying, يُؤْمِنُونَ أَيْضًا. Yani, the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah he's talking about. يُؤْمِنُونَ أَيْضًا بِأَنَّ الرَّسُولُ صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يعلم الغيب إلا ما أطلعه الله عليه. يعني that the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah believe, have iman in this fact, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم does not have knowledge of the غيب, the unseen. He doesn't have knowledge of the unseen, except that which Allah has made him to know, has revealed to him, except that which Allah has caused him to come to know by revelation. لا يملك لنفسه ضرا ولا نفعا ولا لغيره. That he doesn't possess, he doesn't control for himself harm or benefit. Yani, he can't prevent harm coming to him, nor can he bring any benefit to himself. He doesn't control that. ولا لغيره, nor for anybody else. He can't do that. He can't, yani, give any benefit to anybody else. He can't guarantee somebody to have something, whatever it may be, or prevent any harm from coming to them. He doesn't have control over that. Rather, it is Allah, not only that, but the Shaykh says very importantly that Allah the Most High has commanded him to convey this point, to convey that to his ummah, yani to tell them that this is the reality of my situation. So Allah ordered him in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 50th Ayah, قُلْ لَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِ خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. Yani, Allah ordered the Prophet, قُلْ, say, I am not saying to you, I do not say to you that I have with me the khazain, yani the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the risk, the sustenance, the rahmah of Allah. I don't have control over this. وَلَا عَلَمُ الْغَيْبِ, nor do I know the unseen. Nor am I saying to you that I am an angel, yani a malak. Meaning, yani, first and foremost, I'm not putting myself above the station that Allah has put me in. Yani, I'm just a abd and rasul. I don't have control over the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't have knowledge of the unseen. I'm not an angel. Who are the angels? The angels are the creatures that Allah created and He empowered to execute, yani, what He wants to take place. The Prophet said, I don't have that power. I can't execute anything. That's the angels. I'm not an angel. Huh? So he's saying what? I have a station. Allah has commanded him to say to the ummah in clear language, this is my station. The Shaykh says, وَمَا هِيَ وَظِيفَتُهُ. So if he's not, he doesn't have control of the treasures of Allah, he doesn't know the unseen, he's not an angel. So what is his occupation? What is his mission? What is his wadifa? What is his task that Allah has given to him? And the Shaykh mentions this ayat in Surah Al-Ahqaf. I think it's 46 surah, 9th ayat. In attabi'u illa ma yuha ilayya. In attabi'u, that I only follow that which, nothing except that which Allah has revealed to me. I don't follow anything except what Allah has revealed to me. Yani Allah reveals and He complies with whatever Allah has revealed. That's his mission, is to accept the revelation and to act upon it, to deliver it to the people. So whoever claims, now this is a powerful statement that the Shaykh is making here, don't be alarmed by it, but just accept its reality, it's a fact, and it's proven in simple language. مَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يَعْلَمْ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْغَيْبِ غَيْرَ مَا أَتْلَعَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِأَنَّهُ مُكَذِّبٌ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Yani the Shaykh is saying here in clear language, and I know that yani from the principles of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we don't declare people to be kafirs, but the Shaykh is not declaring yani a specific person. He's saying this is a general ruling. Whoever claims that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam knows anything of the unseen other than what Allah has revealed to him, other than that, then this person is a kafir. He's a disbeliever in Allah and a disbeliever in His Messenger. Why? The Shaykh explains why in simple language. لِأَنَّ مُكَذِّبٌ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ. Because he is denying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and he's denying what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said. He's saying what Allah said is a lie. What the Messenger said is a lie. Is this a kafir or not? I mean, it's clear. It doesn't require long discussion. Whoever has a problem with that, they clearly do not understand even the most simplest things in Islam. And if somebody says that Allah has told a lie, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying, it's clear this person is a kafir. So this is the severity, the seriousness of this matter, of the people who claim that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows something of the unseen. Rather, there are people who claim that somebody, that they are human beings who know everything of the unseen. Not some of it, all of it. This is how serious it is. Not the Messenger of Allah, other than the Messenger of Allah. And we are saying here that whoever claims that the Messenger of Allah knows anything of the unseen, other than what Allah reveals him, that person is a kafir. So just think about this for a moment as we go on. The Shaykh says, indeed the Messenger, فَإِنَّ الرَّسُولُ, it says M, it should be Umira. This is a correct printing mistake. فَإِنَّ الرَّسُولُ should be Umira, has been commanded to say, and يَقُولُ وَقَالَ قَوْلًا يُتْلَى إِلَى يَوْمِ قِيَامَةِ. Yani, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been commanded to say, and he said it, what he was commanded to say, that is a word which is to be recited until يَوْمُ قِيَامَةِ. That is his saying, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ. Allah ordered the Prophet, قُلْ لا أقول لكم عندي خزائن الله ولا أعلم الغيب ولا أقول لكم إني ملك. Yani same ayat that we mentioned before, Surah Al-An'am, 6th or 50th ayat, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been commanded by Allah to say this to the people, and it became part of the Quran, and it is recited until Yawm Al-Qiyamah, so that there is no doubt about this matter until the day of resurrection. Say, yani Allah ordered the Prophet, say that I am not saying to you that I control the treasures of Allah. I am not saying to you that I know the unseen. I am not saying to you that I am an angel. I am only Abdullah Rasuluh. وَبِمُنَاسِبَةِ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمِ. Here the Shaykh gives us a fa'idah that's tremendous. Naam. بِمُنَاسِبَةِ. On this occasion of this noble ayat, I love to say to you something. That indeed the noble Qur'an, أَحْيَانًا تُصَدَّرُ الْأَخْبَارُ فِيهِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ بِكَلِمَةِ قُلْ. Yani that sometimes, ahyanan, not all the time, but sometimes the akhbar, something that Allah is informing us of in the Quran, is initiated, begins with this word, qul. Some things in the Quran that Allah informs us about begin, start with the word qul. And everything that begins with this word, the meaning of it is, the meaning of it, when an ayah begins with the word qul, the Shaykh says, the meaning of it is, ma'anahu, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i'tana bihi inayatan khasa. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given special attention and care to what is about to come after this word qul. that Allah is giving special care to this. Yani, above and beyond whatever else came in the Quran that didn't come with this word starting with it. And the whole of the Quran is the truth, right? And all of it is yani necessity. But Allah has given special care to certain statements that He informs us in the Quran. And that is, yani, لِأَنَّ الرَّسُولَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ قَدْ أُمِرَ أَيَقُولُ قُلَّ أَيَقُولَ قُلَّ الْقُرْآنِ. Yani, the reason why we say this is special is because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has been commanded to deliver the whole of what Allah revealed him of the Quran. Everything in the Quran. He has to tell the people, not just these ayats, but everything in the Quran. He has been commanded to deliver to the people, to say it to the people. As Allah mentions in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 67th ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ فِي الْعَمْرِ كَمَانْ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Yani, O Messenger, deliver, convey what has been revealed to you from your Rabb. Meaning the whole Quran, Allah ordered him to say to the people. But in certain ayats, Allah began the ayat with the word قُلْ. Yani, showing that there's extra emphasis and care and concern for these particular points of information. Here the Shaykh says, لَكِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي خُصَّ بِكَلِمَةِ قُلْ فِيهِ إِنَايَةٍ خَاصَةٍ اسْتَحَقَّ أَنْ يُصَدْرَ بِالْأَمْرِ بِالتَّبْلِيغِ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْخُصُوصِ. مثل هذه الآية ومثلها في الأحكام آيات أخرى. يعني, so the Shaykh is saying here, what? These places in the Quran that have been singled out with this word, قُلْ, then there's extra special care to be given to these ayats. And for this reason, these ayats have began with a command to deliver this yani information ala wajh al-khusus, especially. Although everything he's commanded to deliver, but special care has been given to deliver that which came after the word qul. Like in this particular ayat, and the likes of it, the Shaykh said, is also in Surah An-Nur 24:30, for example. And in Surah An-Nur 24:31, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men that they should lower their gaze. And in the next ayah, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and say to the believing women, يَغُدُّنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, that they should lower their gaze. Allah may give special care to this. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze. That means that this is very important. Yani, this word qul came means that pay attention now, a little extra care now to what you're being told. Here, what? Lower your gaze. May Allah save us from this. Yani, from yani just recklessness. May Allah save us from this. Men and women. Allah said it to the men. Allah said it to the women. It's not just men. Both of them. Is it clear? Huh? So some people think just men. You got to lower your gaze. Women, you got to lower your gaze too. Naam, they believe in men, they believe in women. And the likes, the examples of this are many in the Quran. Many ayats in the Quran came like this. Then the Shaykh says, so, الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يعلم الغيب إلا ما أطلعه الله ولا يملك لنفسه ضرا ولا نفعا بل ولا لغيره أيضا. يعني, so, the summary of this point is what? That the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't have knowledge of the unseen except that which Allah has made him to know, yani by revelation. Nor does he control for himself any harm or any benefit, rather not even for anyone else. As Allah said in Surah Al-Jinn, 72nd Surah, 21st ayat, قُلْ, again, قُلْ إِنِّي لَعَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ دَرًّا وَلَا رَشَدًا. Say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them, verily, definitely, I do not possess, I do not control for you any harm, nor the ability to guide you to the right path, to the straight path. I don't control that. I'm not in control of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the following ayat, in 72nd surah, 22nd ayat, قُلْ, again, to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, إِنِّي, and every time, قُلْ إِنِّي, certainly, definitely, surely. Yani, emphasizing the importance of what he's saying here, the certainty of it. إِنِّي لَنْ يُجِيرَنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ أَحَدٌ. Nobody, yani, can protect me from the punishment of Allah if I disobeyed Him. Nobody can protect me from Allah, yani the punishment of Allah, if I was disobedient to Him. أَحَدٌ, أَحَدٌ. وَلَنْ أَجِدُ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Nor will I find anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will be a source or a means of refuge. The Shaykh says, so if Allah, the meaning of this, so if Allah intended, yani that the Prophet ﷺ is saying, that if Allah intended, yani something, harm for me, nobody, no one can save me from it. And I cannot find any place of refuge in other than Allah. Okay, here, I just want to make a note here. That the first point that we're talking about here, the Prophet ﷺ does not have knowledge of the unseen. And the matter is so serious that the Shaykh said, whoever claims that the Prophet ﷺ even has one matter of the unseen, knows about it, except what Allah revealed to him, the person is a kafir. Look what I read in a book called Al-Kafi, Al-Kulaini, Al-Usul. Yani, the most important book of so-called hadith, I guess you could say, sayings of the Imams, of the Shiite, the 12 Imams, Ithna Asha Shia. This is in their books. And I'm telling you, I read a lot of their books. I had some proximity to some Shiites, and I used to borrow their books from them and take notes from them. And this is one of the things that's in one of their most fundamental books. This is what, these are the chapter headings, and it's not difficult to find. And there are references for them. The 12 Imam Shia. Yani, there are Shiites that believe that there's 12 infallible Imams. Some of them believe only 7 infallible Imams. Some of them believe only 4 infallible Imams. They can't even agree on how many of the Imams are infallible. But in any case, those who believe in the 12 infallible Imams, from the chapters, headings in Al-Kafi, the Imams possess all the knowledge granted to angels, prophets, and messengers. The Imams know when they will die. And they do not die except by their own choice. The Imams have knowledge of whatever occurred in the past and whatever will happen in the future. And nothing is concealed from them at all. The Imams have the knowledge of the revealed books, regardless of what languages they were revealed in. There is not a single truth possessed by people except that which originated with the Imams. And everything which did not originate with them is falsehood. And all of the earth belongs to the Imams. These are chapter titles that under these titles they brought sayings to support this insanity. So this just goes to show you, yani, the seriousness of the matter. Of what? Of claiming that somebody has knowledge of the unseen. Yani, even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't have knowledge of anything from the unseen except what Allah revealed to him. And these people claim that they know everything, past, future, yani, revelations, every book, whether whatever language, doesn't matter. There's nothing concealed from them. Rather, there's nothing of truth except it came from them. If it didn't come from them, it's falsehood. These people believe this, yes. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I want us to contrast what we believe and what they believe. Two different religions. Yeah. As I mentioned before, a federal judge in the state of New York made a ruling on behalf of the Shiites in the New York State prison system that they are entitled to have their own religious services. Because when he examined their petition to have their own religious services, he asked, what do you people believe and what do they believe? And he said, for sure, you people have two different religions. A federal judge in New York said that indeed the religion of the Muslims and the religion of the Shiites is two different religions. They have to have their own services. Wallahi, he was telling the truth. But even we can't see that. Some of us say, but they're Shiites, we're all Muslims, we're all together. A kafir can see that they have a different religion. But a Muslim can't see. That's why I'm showing you what they're saying in their books, so that you don't think that we're just picking on somebody. Because we don't have time to pick on people. We are trying to be productive and constructive. We're not trying to just make attacks on people. But you need to know that there's a difference between what we believe, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and what some other people believe. Some of these people do have a different religion. And I want to read the footnote that came here in the book. But it's very lengthy, okay? And the time is upon us. So I'm going to try to summarize as much of it as I can quickly. It's in the book.
I didn't want to interrupt you for this. I don't about those who are saying that there are many types of Shia.
There are many types of Shia. Now, there's some, they believe 12 human beings are infallible. Some of them believe only 7 are infallible. Some of them believe only 4 of them are infallible.
Yeah, but this is from their fundamental belief. So,
but all of them believe that the Imams are infallible.
I'm saying because those who are saying that, when I give excuse that some of them are okay. That's why I'm asking.
In any case, but this is what we say. That nobody's okay or not okay. Except by what they believe and what they do. You can call yourself Sunni, Salafi, Sufi, Shi'i, it doesn't matter. It's what you believe. Because there are some people say they're Sunni. And they are, what they believe is kufr. Okay? So if a person has the label of Shiite, but he doesn't believe what the Shiites believe. However, he came with that title. Like some people have the title of Sunni, but they don't believe what the Sunnis believe. They have a title of Salafi, but they don't believe what the Salaf believe. It's not a matter of the title. It's what is in your heart. What do you believe? What is on your tongue and your actions. That is where the Shahada is manifested. It's not in labels. Okay? I don't want to take a long time with this, but Annie, we could talk about it another time, inshallah. All I want to do now is just read from the Fatwa Lajna Daima. Yani, a question came. The summary of the question is, does the Prophet have knowledge of the unseen? Okay, this is a long fatwa. Some of what they said is that the foundation is that all the matters of the unseen are exclusive for Allah. All matters of the unseen belong to Allah alone. Allah said in the Quran, they mentioned from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah 59th Ayat, that Allah has the keys of the unseen. Nobody knows it except Him. And to the end of the ayat. That Allah, يعني عنده مفاتيح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو. Until the end of the ayat where he goes on يعني, to give details. They mention the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Naml, 27th Surah 65th ayat, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. يعني that nobody in the heavens or earth, not humans or angels or otherwise, have the knowledge of the غيب except Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let anybody come to know any of this except a messenger that He is pleased with. And then they mention to support this, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Jinn, 72nd Surah, 26th and 27th ayat, which supports that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let anybody know about the unseen except a messenger that He is pleased with. And they also mention the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ahqaf, 46th Surah, 9th ayat, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yani says وَمَا أَدْرِي مَا يُفْعَلْ بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ, that I don't even know what will be done with me or with you. I don't have knowledge of these things. I only follow that which has been revealed to me. I'm only a clear warner. Then they said, yani all of this on the point of what? Does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have knowledge of the unseen? Forget about the imams and sheikhs and the saints and whoever else. It has been confirmed in a long hadith from Ala that she said, when Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu anhu passed away, we wrapped him up in some cloths, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered upon us while we were doing that, and she said, Rahmatullah alayka ya Aba Sa'ib. She said to the deceased one, Allah's mercy be upon you, O Abu Sa'ib. Shahadati alayka laqad akramaka Allah azza wa jalla. This is my bearing witness for you, that Allah indeed has honored you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَكْرَمُهُ. And what made you to know that Allah has honored him? Yani, where did you get that from? Yani, are you getting revelation? And she said, لَا أَدْرِي بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي. I don't know. Now, I mean, the Prophet is questioning her. She said, wait a minute, maybe I don't know what I'm doing here. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is the shahid of this, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا هُوَ فَقَدْ جَاءَهُ يَكِينَ أَمَّا هُوَ فَقَدْ جَاءَهُ يَكِينَ أَمَّا هُوَ يعني Uthman, indeed that which is certain has come to him مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَإِنِّي لَأَرْجُ لَهُ الْخَيْرِ, and I hope that there is good for him. وَاللَّهِ مَا أَدْرِي وَأَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا يَفَلْ بِي, I, by Allah, I don't know. And I'm the messenger of Allah. I don't know what's gonna be his end. What's going to be done to him. I don't even know that. فَقُلْتُ, then she said, radiallahu anha, وَاللَّهِ لَا أُزَكِّي بَعَدَهُ أَحَدًا أَبَدًا. By Allah, I never declared anybody, yani, what's their condition in front of Allah? Anyone after this, yani, again. Yani, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shahid in this hadith, that he's saying, by Allah, I'm the messenger of Allah. I don't even know what is going to be somebody's end. I don't know this. I don't have knowledge of the unseen. This hadith reported by Ahmad and Bukhari in Kitab al-Janaiz. Yani, and in one of the narrations he said, I don't know what will be done with me. مَا يَفَعَلْ بِي أَنَا وَمَا يَفَعَلْ بِهِ, in a different narration. Yani, the Prophet is saying, I'm the messenger of Allah. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I don't have knowledge of the unseen. They also said it has confirmed in many hadith that the Prophet ﷺ was informed by Allah of the end of some of his companions, and he informed them of that. Yani, he gave them the good news of Jannah. Asharul Mubashirin bil Jannah. Some people, the Prophet was informed what will be the end. And others, he doesn't know. And in the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that Jibril asked the Prophet ﷺ about the hour, and the Prophet said, "Mal mas'ul anha bi'alam min as-sa'il." Yani, the one who's being asked, me, doesn't have any more knowledge than the asker, you, Angel Jibril. Neither one of us, we don't know the hour. Yani, not the Prophet ﷺ, nor the Angel Jibril. And he didn't go any further than what? Just to inform him of the amarat, of the sa'ah, the signs of the hour. And all this points to the fact that the knowledge of the unseen is the exclusive right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that there is no, not even a messenger that has any knowledge of the unseen except that which Allah has revealed to him. Yarhamukallah. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَيَعْتَقِدُونَ Yani, next point. Concerning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَيَعْتَقِدُونَ يَعْنِي أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ الْجَمَاعَةِ They have aqidah, their belief that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is basharun, لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ شُؤُورَ الرُّبُوبِيَّ شَيْءٌ That the Messenger of Allah is a human being, and he doesn't control anything of the affairs of rububiyyah, يعني of Allah's lordship, creating, يعني controlling, providing, giving life and death. He has nothing of this. لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ شُؤُورَ الرُّبُوبِيَّ شَيْءٌ He doesn't know the unseen except that which Allah has revealed to him. And then the Shaykh goes on to show something about how he didn't have knowledge of the unseen. All of this is related to what? The second point, and that is that the Prophet is a human being. Not only he doesn't have knowledge of the unseen, but he doesn't have any rights or any authority over anything that is related to Allah's exclusive right of rububiyyah as the Rabb. But he specifically goes into detail about the knowledge of the unseen. He said, to the extent that the Prophet ﷺ was asked sometimes about something from the legal rulings in Islam, and he held back until revelation came. He didn't say anything. He didn't know. And sometimes, yani, he actually expressed something, made a statement, and then an exception to what he said came from Allah Azza wa Jalla after he spoke. Such as when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked about al-shahada. Al-shahada here, the meaning of it is man qutila fi sabilillah. Not shahada, the testimony of la ilaha illallah. He was asked about al-shahada, about a person who's killed in the way of Allah. Hal yukaffiru kullu shay'in, does this? Can he expiate all of his sins if a person dies fighting in the way of Allah? And the Prophet said, na'am, definitely, yes. Then, after a moment, the Prophet said, ayna sa'il, where's the one who asked that question? Bring him back. And he said, illa dain, except debt. Can a person dies in the way of Allah, killed in the way of Allah, and all of his sins are expiated, except debt. The angel Jibril just informed me of this. And he didn't know. He didn't know. Here, I just want to note that the meaning of shahada, it came clear in the actual hadith. Al-Imam An-Nawawi, in his Sharh of Sahih Muslim, he said, Kitab Al-Imara, Bab Man Qutila Fi Sabilillah, Kuffirat Khatayahu Illa Dain. That's the chapter that this hadith came under. The Prophet was asked about shahada. Does it expiate a person's sins? Al-Imam Nawawi entitled the chapter, Bab, the one who is killed in the way of Allah, his sins are forgiven except debt. That's how we know the meaning of it. And also in the words of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Na'am, anta sabirun, muhtasibun, muqbilun, ghayra, mudbir. Yani, he said to the person who was asking about, if I die in the way of Allah, he said, Na'am, if you are patient, and you are muhtasib, expect reward from Allah, and you are muqbilun, going forward, not running away, then na'am, all your sins will be expiated. Illa dain, except debt. And sometimes the Shaykh said, the Prophet ﷺ yajtahid, alayhi salatu wasalam, لكن يأتي الوحي من الله عز وجل بأن الخير في كذا وكذا خلاف ما اجتهد فيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. That sometimes the Prophet would make ijtihad in a matter. Yani, he was asked about somebody, he made ijtihad in it. Or he was yani, faced with a situation and he made his own ijtihad. And then revelation would come that what is best is something other than the ijtihad of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani contrary to the ruling or judgment that he had made. And the example of this, yani, that is mentioned in the footnote, is yani that the incident in Badr when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to take prisoners and to ransom them, and then Allah revealed it's not for a prophet, Yani who hasn't yet taken, subdued the land to take prisoners. Rather, these are people who tried to stop Islam, put out the light of Islam, exterminate the Muslims, and then you are freeing them for ransom? No, they should all be killed. The Prophet ﷺ said, take them captive and ransom them. Allah said, no. No. And then later, Allah allowed the Prophet ﷺ to take captives. The Shaykh says, إِذَنْ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَبْدٌ عَابِدٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Yani he is a abd. Yani a slave of Allah. A worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani one who is in total submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning what? لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ شُؤُنَ رُبُوبِيَّةِ شَيْءٌ. Yani he's just a abd, a abid. He doesn't have control over anything of the affairs of rububiyyah, shay'un, at all. هذا هو قول أهل السنة والجماعة في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Shaykh said, this is the view of أهل السنة والجماعة concerning the messenger of Allah. And then the Shaykh says, وَيَعْتَقِدْ, and the last thing that he says concerning, يعني, what we believe concerning the messenger of Allah, أهل السنة والجماعة, يَعْتَقِدُ, it is the عقيدة also that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, بَشَرٌ, تَجُوزُ عَلَيْهِ كُلُّ الخصائص البشرية الجسدية, that he is a human being who it is permissible that everything from the خصائص البشرية الجسدية, yani everything from human yani characteristics, physical characteristics of the human being are yani applicable to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's a human being, everything from the human physical characteristics of the human being applicable to him. So he sleeps like other human beings, he eats and drinks, he can become sick, he suffers pain, yani grief, he's pleased, he's angry, like other human beings, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَمُوتُ كَمَا يَمُوتُ النَّاسِ. And he is subject to death, just like every other human being is subject to death. Here the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 30 and 31st Ayat, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتُ. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. This is the conclusive statement concerning the Prophet. Yani those people who claim the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is physically still alive. Not al-hayat al-barzakhiyah. The life that's in the barzakh. That's not like the life in this world, nor is it like the life in the next life. The special life of the people who's in between this world and the next life, barzakh. No, they say he's physically alive. The Shaykh is coming here now, saying he died like other people died. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ. Allah said, indeed you will die. وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. And they, yani the rest of the people, everybody will die. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عِنْدَ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ. And then, all of you on the يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, you'll be standing before Allah, yani disputing about your affair. And then he quotes another ayah from the Quran, from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 144th ayah, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُولُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ. Yani this is the point, yani that The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a messenger. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. He is no more than a messenger. He doesn't have any of the characteristics of rububiyyah. Rather, he has the characteristics of bashariyya, human beings. He's only a messenger. And like the messengers before him, and if he were to die or be killed, will you turn back on your heels? Yani if he were to die or be killed, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is subject to death like every other messenger before him. And there's no doubt that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mata maitatan jasadiyya. Yani there's no doubt, the Shaykh says these are his words, qad mata maitatan jasadiyya, that he has died a physical death. Faraqat ruhuhu jasadahu fiha. And in that death that he died, yani his soul, his ruh, separated from his body. Shaykh is using specific language here so that there's no doubt about what he's talking about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and his family waqama, should it says qahu or something like that, qaha in the Arabic text, waqama ahluhu wa ashabuhu bima yaqumuna bihi fi ghayrihi min shu'un al-mauta, and his family and his companions did with him, performed for him the same thing that was done for anyone other than him in terms of the affairs of a person who has passed away. Except that the Prophet was not stripped of his clothing when he was washed. And his clothing was not taken off him. And what is well known is that they didn't pray over him as a jama'ah, one group of people, salatul janazah. But rather the people came and prayed individually, afradan. And that is because the Shaykh says, لِأَنَّهُ Al-Imam, because he himself, he was the Imam, alayhi salatu wassalam. The Shaykh closes this point by saying, وَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ حَيٌّ فِي قَبْرِهِ حَيٌّ فِي قَبْرِهِ حَيَاةً جَسَدِيَّ لَا حَيَاةً بَرْزَخِيَّ. Yani, so whoever claims that the Prophet ﷺ is alive in his grave, حَيَاةً جَسَدِيَّ, physical life, physically living. We're not saying the life of barzakh, no, physical life. And that he's praying and he's fasting, he's making hajj, yani his physical body. وَأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمْ مَا يَقُولُ وَعُمَّ وَتَفْعَلُهُ مَا تَقُولُ مَا تَقُولُهُ وَعُمَّ وَتَفْعَلُهُ. And that he knows what the ummah, the Muslims are saying and what they are doing. Whoever makes this claim that the Prophet is physically alive, قَدْ قَالَ قَوْلًا بِلَا عِلْمٍ, then this person has said, he has made a statement that is without knowledge. And then there's a long footnote. And of course, yani, the time is not yani, sufficient for us to cover the footnote. But in any case, some of the points that's made in the footnote is that this person has said a saying without yani, knowledge. Rather, this person has lied. And that is because Allah said, indeed you will die, and they also will die in Surah Al-Zumar that we mentioned already, 39:30. And also Allah said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدَ, that we haven't made for any human being that they have al-khuld, immortality. There's no human being before you that we gave yani everlasting life. أَفَإِنْ مِتَّ فَهُمْ خَالِدُونَ. So if you are going to die, then will they have immortality? This ayah was revealed in reference to the kafir saying, yani making an attack on the Prophet saying he's going to die. And Allah is saying, so also everybody else will die. It's nothing. Everybody, he's a human being. Yes, he's going to die. And so are you also going to die. And other than this, from the ayahs to prove that the Prophet ﷺ had a physical death, and there's ijma of the Sahaba, and other than them, that the Prophet indeed died, they washed him, they prayed over him, and they buried him. And people are saying that he's physically alive? Yani the Sahaba agreed that he was dead. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet radiallahu anha, she came to Abu Bakr asking for inheritance from her father. And Abu Bakr explained to her, the Prophets are not inherited. She understood her father had died. She came asking for the inheritance. And also the companions gathered together to appoint a khalifa, a leader after the Prophet ﷺ. And they wouldn't have done so except that they knew that the Prophet ﷺ had died. So this is ijma from the companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that the Prophet ﷺ, his life now is hayat barzakhiyya. The life that's in the grave, that is yani in between the life of this dunya and the life of the akhirah. That's the only life that the Prophet ﷺ is experiencing now. And they wanted to say that also many difficulties and trials and tribulations they will experience. And they didn't go to his grave and consult with him how to solve these problems if they thought that he was actually still living. So what is correct is that which is the view of the Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, that the Prophet ﷺ, حَيٌّ فِي قَبْرِهِ حَيَاتْ بَرْزَخِيًّا, that he's living in his grave, the life of barzakh, and that he's experiencing whatever rewards Allah gave him in the grave, that he was entitled to for what he had done in this world. And his soul will not be returned to him, yani so that he will live the life again like the life of this dunya. And nor will his soul be connected to his body like it will be in the akhirah for in the qiyamah for judgment. Rather, the life that he's experiencing is only the hayat barzakhiyya, the life that is in between the life of the dunya and the life of the akhirah. And then the Prophet, then the Shaykh closes by saying, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and انقطع عمله بموتي, that his deeds, yani the worship that he was doing, is cut off with his death. And this is as he himself said, إذا مات الإنسان انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث صدقة جارية علم ينتفع به أو ولد صالح يدعو له. Yani his deeds are cut off, like he himself said, إذا مات الإنسان, any human being, when he dies, his deeds will be cut off except from three, yani an ongoing charity or knowledge that is still being benefited from, or a righteous child that supplicates on his behalf. And this hadith is mentioned by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, and it's under the chapter Bab Ma Yulhaq Al-Insan Min Al-Thawab Ba'da Wafatihi, what a human being will get, yani coming to him, of reward after his death. Yani the only reward that he will get is from what? Yani sadaqa jariya, ongoing charity, or knowledge that he left behind that people are still benefiting from, or righteous child that supplicates for him. So the Shaykh says, فَعَمَلُهُ الَّذِي يَعْمَلْ بِنَفْسِهِ إِنْ قَطَى بِمَوْتِهِ. So the deeds that he used to do himself, they are cut off with his death. ولكن لا شك أن كل علم علمناه من شريعة الله فإنه بواسطته عليه الصلاة والسلام وهنا إذن يكون منتفعا من كل هذا العلوم التي علمناها بعد موته صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني his deeds, his fasting and praying is gone. However, there is no doubt that every knowledge that we have learned from the Sharia of Allah, we learned it by way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this sense, he will be benefiting from all of that knowledge that we have learned, yani through that came through him, yani that we continue to learn after his death. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be benefiting from that, and likewise the righteous deeds which we came to learn. We learned it by him, the Prophet ﷺ, pointing to it. فَيَكُونُ لَهُ مِثْلَ أَجْرِ الْعَامِلِينَ. And so he would get the reward, like the reward of the one who did it. And there are many hadith which point to this. يعني the reward of the one who points to something will be يعني equal to the reward of the one who does it. I just want to close with a couple of points, and we'll finish here. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah says in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, and this is not lengthy, I'm not going to read all of it, but in his explanation of Sahih Muslim of this hadith from Abu Hurairah, that when a human being dies, his deeds are cut off except from three, Imam Nawawi says, the chapter heading, what the human being, what will reach him of reward after his death. And he mentions this hadith, if a human being dies, his deeds are cut off except from three. And the Imam Nawawi says, point number one, they are not numbered, but I'm saying point number one, قال العلماء معنى الحديث. What is the meaning of this hadith? The scholars said, Imam Nawawi said, the ulama said. Look at Imam Nawawi saying the ulama said. And just think about this, right? Imam Nawawi said, قال العلماء معنى الحديث. The meaning of this hadith is that the deed of the person who deceased will be cut off with his death, and the renewal of rewards will be cut off for him, except from these three things. And that is because these three things, he was the cause of them. And he was the cause of the sadaqah jariyah. He was the cause of the knowledge being left for people that they benefit from. He was the cause of raising a righteous child that supplicates for him. That is because he was the cause of them. That's why he's getting benefit from them. For indeed, his child is from that which he has earned. And likewise, the knowledge which he left behind from his teaching, or his tasneef, his authoring books. And likewise, the sadaqah jariyah, wahiya al-waqf, yani the endowment that he has set up so that people could benefit from his wealth after he died. And then the shaykh said, from the benefits of this hadith also. And this is a point that probably none of us thought of. What's from the benefits of this hadith that's obvious? Quickly. What's the benefits of this hadith that's obvious? Any one of them.
Huh?
That a person should try to implement sadaqah jariyah. Yani the importance of sadaqah jariyah, ongoing charity. What are another point that's from this hadith? Clear.
Learning and sharing.
Learning and sharing. Knowledge, importance of knowledge. Teaching, learning, sharing. Now.
That a person must adhere to the sunnah of raising a righteous child.
That's an important point. That, yani, don't you want to have a righteous child to supplicate for you? But it has to be a righteous child.
Supplicating for our parents.
And also supplicating for our parents. Indirect. Imam Nawawi didn't even mention that one. Now, Ibrahim.
Racing
to do good deeds. Okay, let's see what Imam Nawawi mentions here. The first point that he mentions. Nobody came with this one. Listen to this. This will make your hearts become yani joy, overjoyed. Fihi, in this hadith, is fadilatu az-zawaj. The excellence, the virtue of getting married. Otherwise, how are you going to have a righteous child praying for you if you didn't get married, right? Look at the ulama, how they look at this matter. He said, in this hadith is the excellence of marriage, so that you have hope of a righteous child. And this has been discussed previously. Also in it is an indication of the correctness, the validity of al-waqf and the greatness of its reward. Al-waqf, the endowment, setting up, yani some money, leaving it behind to be used so that people could benefit. Well, however it might be. The validity of this. Thirdly, fadilat al-ilm, the excellence of knowledge. And the encouragement to get increase of knowledge. And the encouragement also to share it, yani to leave it as an inheritance. That is by teaching or authoring or yani clarifying knowledge. And that it is incumbent upon us to choose the best of knowledge and the most beneficial of it first in selecting knowledge. And in it is that dua. Yani this is under the chapter of what will reach a person of reward after their death. And this is the last point the Shaykh makes, is that dua, supplication, its reward will reach the dead person. Person supplicating for them will benefit them. And likewise as sadaqah. If somebody gives sadaqah on behalf of the dead, it will benefit them. The Imam Nawawi says, وَهُمَا مُجْمَعٌ عَلَيْهِمَا. These two points, that dua and sadaqah will benefit the dead person, are agreed upon by ijma. And likewise, fulfilling or paying a person's debt also will benefit the person who died, if somebody pays their debt. وَأَمَّا الْحَجْ. Then there's difference of opinion about hajj. Yani, according to the Shafi'i madhab and those who agree with them, yani it can benefit, the hajj will benefit a person. But this comes under the title of what? Fulfilling a debt. If a person had the debt of hajj that they didn't, yani weren't able to perform. And then he says, وَأَمَّا the fasting that is upon, yani obligatory fasting that was left by a dead person, then what is correct, Imam Nawawi says, is that the guardian of that person, the wali, should fast on behalf of that dead person. And then he says, finally, reading the Quran and making this reward for the dead person and performing salat on behalf of the dead person and things like this, the madhab of a Shafi'i and the majority of the scholars is that it will not reach the person. Will not reach the person. And this is yani the end of what I wanted to mention here. Just yani because this hadith brings us to mind this issue of what are the deeds that will benefit a dead person after they did. The hadith mentions three things. And here there's some discussion about what about paying the debt? What about giving charity on behalf of someone? And so on. Yani making dua for them and so on. Hajj, fasting. What are these things that can be done on behalf of a person that will actually benefit them after their death? And this is a discussion that requires yani full discussion. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah mentions this discussion in detail, in great detail, pages and pages and pages with evidences from Quran and Sunnah, verified sources concerning the issue of what are the deeds that a person can do on behalf of a dead person that will benefit that dead person. This is important to know because today people are doing all kind of stuff. And if somebody is actually going to the masjid and perform two rak'ahs, I'm giving this to somebody who died. Yeah, reading Quran, that's famous, right? When a person died, they go and they come to the house and everybody reads the juz. I don't know how they do it. I've never seen it, but I heard about it. Huh? Surah Yasin? Or even, I heard, actually, somebody told me, they went, they said, you have to read the whole Quran. They bring 30 people, everybody read one juz, until they finish the whole Quran, they give it to the dead person. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week, inshallah, we're going to talk about the fourth issue, that is the position of the Sahaba. This is a critical, very, very important issue. Naam. Just a reminder.